Greetings to each of you this morning. It's been a tremendous blessing to be here singing and worshiping the Lord with you all this morning. It's been refreshing. I just want to greet all of you. You all have impacted my life in some way. I remember the first time we came here to church, maybe in 2015, 2016, you know, during those years, trying to seek the Lord, trying to find the right path, trying to do what the Lord was laying on my heart, and seeing you brothers, and seeing then being here part of the discipleship meetings here over the years. It's been a tremendous blessing, and I want to thank you for all that this morning. I don't say that to lift anyone up. I just want to thank you for making yourself available for me and my family, as far as for over the years of just being able to, you know, look at for direction. I know I called Aiden different times and just different things. We actually met with them once, and so it's been a blessing over the years just to be able to look to brothers and try to hear what there's on their heart and share struggles. But I had to think, you know, I don't know, over about 25 years ago, maybe this church, there's some brothers got converted, and I don't know, maybe 20, 25 years, something like that. I just had to think, you know, in Bern, Indiana, here's this little fledgling church, these brothers that have committed their lives, surrendered their lives to God, and now wanting to start a church, wanting to go forward. I heard little bits and pieces of, like, Paul from Ohio coming to help, and just the glorious gospel came to Bern, Indiana, and life sprung up, and, you know, this beautiful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ be birthed in brothers' hearts to start having a vision for church life and for the things of God, that they would lay their life down. And I just had to think, you know, we heard this beautiful opening, and I just had to think, you know, are we still fighting that fight? Are we still fighting like we once have? You know, I think back of my life. Am I the word vigilant and fight, I think it's how you pronounce that. Am I pursuing this with all my heart? And I'm amazed that, you know, Brother Aiden called me to share here this morning, and I'm amazed at what God laid on Alvin's heart, because that's what I was wanting to talk about, and it wasn't really the same verses, but it's along the same lines about fighting. So I think the Lord would have something to speak to me. I think what Andy shared, that the Lord Jesus could be our all in all this morning, that we could take something and we would learn how to fight this world, you know, the devil and the temptations, the things that want to press in, the things that want to take our joy and our commitment away, the things that want to take the very keys out of our life to have the armor of God on, so we can actually fight the way we should fight. And so I'm just amazed. I think God would want to speak to us in that way this morning, and I trust that I could take that home with me this morning. That I would be willing to do whatever it took, to do whatever it took to find the Lord Jesus precious enough to serve in this life. That it would be above all. So let's turn, with our family devotions, we were going through Isaiah, and it's kind of a little off key, but I just thought I'd read a few verses here at the opening here. It's 40, verse 28, 29, and I'll just read those two verses here. Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. And just to park there just a little bit this morning. The God from heaven. I had this thought as we read it through our family devotions. There's no searching for his understanding. You know how we're called to seek God. We're called to to go after the Lord Jesus and try to find out, you know, what way do I go? But there's no searching for his understanding. He knows which way he wants to go. He knows what's going to be before us, you know, before him. He knows, you know, it's in the Word, and everything, every dot and every I is going to be dotted, every T is going to be crossed, and that he don't have to search that out. It's settled in heaven. And that's the God that we serve this morning. That's the God we're fighting for and with. We're not doing this alone this morning. He giveth power to the might, verse 29. And to them that have no, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. I mean, just think about that. You know, I don't know how it's going for you all this morning, but you think about back 20, 25 years ago, and the same strength that you found back then is what you're going to find in God today. He giveth power. He increases strength. If you're faint here this morning, if you're feeling a little like maybe you're wondering here this morning, am I fighting? Am I even fighting? Well, it's a blessing to think about. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. And brothers and sisters, that's what we can have through the Lord Jesus. I think them are some nuggets that was pointing towards the Lord Jesus and what he was going to do when he comes. Even the young, I'll read 30 and 31 while we're here. Even the young men shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And so there's a calling of seeking God, waiting on the Lord. And I just thought I would read that. Those verses just blessed me this week, and I just thought I'd share them with you all here. If you are under the sound of my voice this morning, I want to assure you that there's a battle for life and death going on. And we all know this. But there, if you're under the sound of my voice, I guarantee you. I mean, I want to persuade you this morning. If you're here and you have bought into this, the Protestant gospel, the easy believism, the accepting Christ, and just raise your hand, and it's just you pick, like Alvin was saying, you know, you pick the easy road, you pick the way of the flesh, what feels good to me, what pampers me. If you pick that road this morning, I want to assure you that there's a battle going on, and we can't choose these things. I know I'm getting off my notes here a little bit, but just wanted to share that the Protestant gospel, I think, has influenced the fighting, the need for fight. We see it all around us, and so therefore, it just seems like, you know, it's so easy just to kind of be casual, just be like, well, you know, I don't know, and you don't really ask, you don't really share it with a brother, you know, well, this isn't going so well, but you know, I'm going to try harder, I'm going to, you know, I know what the, you know, dad said, or you know, whatever. I know what the elder said, but I'm going to try a little harder. And there's this thing about just taking it, just settling down. And I think the profession Christianity, you know, if you talk to one of these men that you know, their past sins, their present sins, their future sins, they're all forgiven. Well, that's true. You know, that's a blessing. But they're just coasting through. Just taking the easy road. And that's why I'd like to lift up this morning that if we could see that that's not going to make it, brothers and sisters. You know, you talk to one of these men and you ask him, how's their Bible reading going? You know, and they'll be like, well, we don't read our Bible very much. Most of them will tell you. We got saved back there but how's it going for us this morning? If we're going to fight, we have to realize that this is going to take everything that's within us to to surrender our lives to God in order to keep to fight this battle. I'd like to name the title of the message this morning, "The Raging Battle for Our Lives." And I had a big sign that I was that I hear about, I don't know, 8 years ago. It's a pretty big. I blew it up. Some guy from Ohio sent me a picture of it, and I blew it up, put it in a frame, and here we was about halfway here this morning, and it was the picture of Ephesians 6 of the armor, and it had, and I was going to set it in front of the pulpit, but somehow the Lord knew that we didn't need that here this morning. I did ask David maybe later we could put a little projector out here a little bit later when I get to that. I was looking forward to that, but it's not going to be the same one that I have, but it'll work, I think. So why don't we turn to Ephesians 6? We're going to read verse 10 through 20 here. It's familiar verses. I'm not saying I'm going to bring anything new this morning, but I will say that this needs to be alive in my life and in all of our lives here together. We'll just read this, and then later on we'll come back and kind of work ourselves down through these verses. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And why don't we just have a prayer here? I was going to pray before we read these verses. Let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before You, Father. Lord, we live in this life, Father, and we just want to humble ourselves before You. Just help us, Father, as just get a glimpse of what Paul, through Your Word of God, through what we're reading here, that Your Word, that we would be able to learn, Lord, how to fight, how to be a good soldier, Father, how to be pure, how to know what we're fighting for, to know how to fight, to just to be a part of Your kingdom, Lord. Just help us here this morning, just understand Your ways, Your will for us. Lord, we need You, Father. We feel very humbled here this morning just to be able to read and be together here. I pray that You just bless this time together. You'd convict us where we need convictions. You'd encourage us where we need encouragement. And that You would just speak to us through Your Word, that we would find You as our all in all and take something with us today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And I'm amazed there, just so I don't forget to mention this later. Here Paul's in prison, and he's saying he's an ambassador in these bonds. And you look the word ambassador up, is a servant. He's just in there trying to be a servant in those bonds, and writing this letter as he's there in prison. It's just an amazing. So Paul told Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So we can tell there that there's an enduring needs to happen in this, because this is something that if you're going to be a Christian, that you're going to with God going to have to endure the as we heard in the opening, we saw in Hebrews 11 there all these men of God that endured hardness. They endured. Now Paul's talking about to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. What will it cost you and I this morning to be his soldier? You know, what will it cost? If I want to be a true soldier, free from sin, alive unto God, where I'm motivated to do his will, what is it going to cost me? And I think we all know that this morning. It's going to cost me everything. It's going to cost me whatever. There's nothing in this world that I can be hanging on to if I want to have this relationship with the Lord and be this soldier. I had to think, why is this account in the Bible? Why would you have this account of armor? You know, here we have a full picture of every piece that a soldier wears. You know, from head to toe, we have a picture. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking, well, you know, Paul's using this, but, you know, we're to be non-resistant. We're to be we don't even take part of war. We don't take part of, joining the army. But then Paul's still giving a picture of the full armor. Why would that be in the Bible? What would we be able to benefit from this? To see a soldier, you know, if you have a soldier up here this morning, you'd see him fully armed. Why would that be in the Bible? I started asking these questions. How could this be? I was just thinking, you know, there's an army jet, not a jet, but a helicopter went by the other day, and there's a gravel pit across the road, and this huge helicopter was all afternoon buzzing around, and they was going down, and they was taking a big tub, and they'd sink it into the water, and they'd come up, and they'd make a circle, and they'd come back, and then they'd spray it back over the water, we looked up. And we saw a soldier, you know, just sitting on the edge, his boots hanging over, and he's just looking down, you know, there he is, just in all his armor, all his, you know, I just had the picture of just a power, you know, just they, you know, when you meet this soldier at the store, you know, he's got it, you know, proud, you know, it's just something about. When you have the everything, the gun, the sword, there's just. But what can we learn from this? What, I mean, obviously God don't want us to be proud. We know, we understand that. But can we really learn something from this? What do these soldiers have? What do they have that's causing them to act like this? Now, you can meet that person at the store and all that. But what about if you'd meet him on a battlefield after he took a bullet and he's suffering for his life? What would it look like then? What would he be saying then? Would there be any kind of, you know, chest out? No, it would be survival mode, right? It would be, oh, help me. Could you plug that? Could you do this for me? What could I do to stop this? How could you get somebody here to help me? You know, it'd be right opposite. And see, that's what they don't understand, you know, as they're going through their life and as they join the army but what they're being told is to fight. They're told to fight. And you know, before fights, I've never been a part, I just hear little bits and stories
But they'll holler things like blood, blood, blood. They'll get excited. I mean, there's something within them that just gets them motivated. And when they hit the ground and they're going in, there's nothing. In their minds, they're an army, they're a team, and they're going to go all the way. They're going to come home, they're going to be able to tell the story, they're going to be able to sit down beside their little child and tell them how they just came in, the bombs went off, the grenades got thrown, and they came home and they're victorious. But what can we learn by these soldiers? And I just had to think, because they know who they are. They know that they admit, you meet them, they say, I'm a soldier. I am a soldier. I fight in the American Army. I'm a soldier that does whatever it takes. And you talk to them and you can tell that they believe in it. They believe in themselves. They believe that they got it. They got it together. They, you know, I fly this fighter jet, or I my job is to coordinate this. I push the button for the bombs, whatever. You meet all kinds of people out there. They'll tell you all kinds of things. But is it because they believe that they believe in what they're doing? They believe in it. And I wonder sometimes, is that what's wrong? Is that why there's men? You know, is that why we don't fight harder? And that we fight to stay pure and true to our God, and true to our fellow men around us, and that our testimony going out, that there's love in our hearts for our brothers and sisters. You know, the church, in a whole, the churches are struggling. They're struggling to love each other, brothers and sisters. Are we going to be found there? What is going to be our testimony at the end of our lives? At the end of my life, what will I be found? He believed in what? He believed that he was a soldier and he endured for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that going to be my testimony this morning? Is that going to be your testimony at the end of your life? Or is it now? Can people look at your life and now see that? See that fervor, that desire, that I believe in the Word of God. I read it, and I know it works. I know it's true, and I believe it. And with God's grace and with my brother's help, that I'm going to do it. That I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it Christ-like. I'm going to lay down my life for my brother. I'm going to prefer my brother higher than myself. Can we do that? Is there power to fight in that way? Do we even want to anymore? You know? Is it our chiefest desire to fight in that way, brothers and sisters? It seems like you don't find that. You don't find that as you talk to people. And I know how easy that can be lost in a church. You know, even in my own life, where that desire.
Do you know who you are this morning? Have you been wounded? Has one of those darts slipped through the shield this morning? You know, the shield, very, very accessible to block out. You know, you think about the world's coming in, you just take the shield and just, you know. But has one of those darts slipped through the shield this morning? And it's hindering my walk with God. And I'm not able to love my brothers. I'm not able to lay down my life for my brothers anymore. We know that Jesus wants us to be a soldier. But I think, a soldier's not ashamed. I kind of said some of these things already. He wants everyone around him to know he's a soldier. You ever think of that?
Why would he wear his, you know, his suit to the store to go grocery shopping? Because he wants everyone to know. And what do we do? You know, do we make like choices to try to let, you know, not obviously to lift ourselves up, but to you know, to reach out, you know, that, you know, not that you're saying I'm doing this, you know, but that they could say, my, what's going on? I mean, this person's different. This person's different than the normal society around me. This person seems to love me. When a country, or let's say America, America went to Afghanistan in 2011, or 2001, October 7th, 2001. And you know that there was all kinds of plans made. There was to conquer, and I'm talking a lot about war this morning, but I'm just trying to get us to see the picture, you know, of this here. So there's all kinds of plans made, what to do, how to do it, and do we analyze our battles to rebuke Satan and to just give our battles to the Lord? Just rebuke Satan and say, Lord, take it. You know, help me. Do we, because the battle's already won. Jesus said it's finished. All he's wanting is just us commit our lives in the things that want to bog us down, just give them to him. We can't handle them. I mean, I don't know when you became a Christian, but if before you become a Christian, I guarantee you wasn't handling your problems correctly. You were miserable. Are you miserable today? You know? We have to ask ourselves, how are we living our lives week by week? Are we finding this victory that's available to fight and to use our shield? How do we view the Christian life? Do we view it as a battle? Are we talking about the victories and the defeats so others can learn how to fight with us? And where we can help each other to be victorious. As I said, you know, most so-called Christians have, you know, they lay down the truth and automatically the armor falls. If you're laying down truth in your life, automatically this armor that Paul's talking about that we should put on, it just falls to the ground. There's no way that you can attach it. All the straps, everything drops. Let's start with verse 10 here. I'm amazed at how Paul starts this. It's the last chapter in Ephesians. We all know that, and Ephesians is a beautiful book. It's a very, very powerful. I absolutely love the book. But he's ending now, talking to them and saying, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So, you know, the answer is to be strong in the Lord. You know, that's just you, who God is, what He's about, what He'd want for your life. One of the ways to do that, to have the whole armor of God on, is to be strong in the Lord. And maybe, David, if you'd want to put that on now, just to, as we get to this. Remember, in a battlefield, it's life or death. You know, they're out there, and reality strikes when the first wounded soldier hits the ground. You know, nobody's really expecting that. You know, if the attitude could be in our lives that if we have sin in our lives and we're a part of a body, we're bringing death to that body. I mean, that the fear of God could grip our hearts in that way. I want it to my heart. I want that to be. That if I'm living with sin in my life, my relationship with God is just on the rocks, you could call it, you know. And I'm just there, just mundane my way through. That that I could just call it, you know what? I'm bringing death to this body.
Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole armor, you know, I think Paul was a part of he knew the Roman soldiers very well. That's where he was getting this picture from. And if I'd have my board here right now, it would be exactly like a Roman soldier. I think as close as you could probably get. So that's what his mind was he was seeing them, and he saw what they stood for. And if we could learn to have a mind that what for soldier we are, you know, they believe, you know, like I said earlier, a soldier believes in himself. But if we could believe in the Lord Jesus and we know what we're about, that's what's powerful. That's what will give us life. Verse 11 says, the end of the verse says wiles. The wiles is that word there in the Strong's means trickery, deceit. So we know here that we can see that trickery and deceit, and it's talking about the devil. You know, just be careful about the wiles of the devil. Because he's tricky. Like he's not just going to come and take away everything at one time. We all know that. We've been taught that from our little one up. But how could he be tricking us today? Like in his trickery mode, like the Strong says, it's trickery. He loves that. When he can get somebody to yield to the flesh, just yield to... Yeah, it's a little different, but I just thought it'd be interesting to see that, and we don't have to probably keep this on very long because how dark we have to make it here. But just the whole armor there, just to see where it all is, you know, how it gets put on. There's a lot of, you notice the most vital areas is covered. If any of those areas, the whole point of wearing that, because it used to be live combat back in the day, more than it is today. But each one of those areas were to shield off their vital parts, because if they take any kind of cuts in those parts, that they soon will not be fighting. And so as Paul pictured that, and I think probably he was a soldier himself in the Roman army at one point, I won't say that for sure. I never looked that up, but I just pictured that, him being that. But so yeah, you can light the lights. I just wanted to have a quick view of that, just so everybody can try to get a better picture. And then we'll talk more about the helmet and the breastplate, the belt of the truth, and the shield, the sword of the Spirit, and the feet the gospel of peace there, the feet. So if you just want to light the lights back on, it's fine. So back to verse 11 here. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And it's going to take the whole armors, brothers and sisters. There was a picture there. It's going to take everything that God has for you. I mean, there's any half-hearted things that you want that you're trying to decipher, you know, world or God or, you know, a little bit of this, these hobbies, whatever it might be, and they're pulling you, it's going to take the whole armor. The whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor. That's you know, Paul knew that it's going to take everything that we got. Because if we don't have the whole armor, God, if we don't have a mindset, I'm a soldier, I've been saved,
with God, all things are possible. I'm not looking back. I will not give in to the flesh. I will not give in to the world. I want God to help me. I want brothers to hold me accountable. If we don't have this mindset, I guarantee you, the trickery, the wiles of the devil will come into your life. I know any place where I was half-hearted in my life, it showed up. And I had to deal with that. I had to deal with that. I had to lay it on the altar. And I know you brothers and sisters know this, but just to encourage us to fight and to give it all we have. Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And it's pretty amazing how flesh and blood, you know, our act, you know, how we deal with people. You know, we rub shoulders with people, and how there's things happen that just are set, you know, it just seems like that it wants to get us to think things about people that aren't so, you know, just, and so just to realize, especially in the brotherhood, I feel, the devil, if you don't have the whole armor of God on, the devil will try to get you to think things about your brother that aren't so, even before maybe you talk to him, you know. I think it's very wise that we would communicate before we just start having thoughts, you know. And I'm not, you know, and when we do think, I think we need to be careful how we think. Because it's very easy to measure my brother more than myself. And Jesus taught us very clearly of how we measure people, we're going to be measured. And that don't mean that we don't talk about things and communicate. But it's not flesh and blood. It's not, you know, this is a bigger realm. This is a raging battle. this is a raging battle going on, and it's God, the Lord Jesus, and the devil and his army too. And they, God wants you, and the devil wants you as well. And so that's just think about. It's verse 12. Against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so I thought I would drop down and read in Colossians 16, first, it'd be Colossians 16, 17, and 18, verse chapter 1. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven," talking about God, "and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." So now we see here that even the principalities and powers, the dominions, are created by God. And people have a hard time, and even myself, like how God did all that, like how he left the enemy come down to try mankind. And I think the more you think about it, it's okay. It's okay because God made a way. He didn't leave us here just with the enemy to struggle and to struggle and struggle. He made a way through salvation that now we can fight this battle with the Lord Jesus and be victorious. I mean, that's exciting. It seems like, but we want to just instantly something happens. Oh, you know, flesh and blood. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's a higher power. The devil uses his soldiers. He has soldiers too, and they're alive. They look just like me and you. They can be our neighbors, whoever. But they're sent to you to see what will you do. What will you do in this situation? Will you still love at that person at the end of this, you know, this business deal, or if you bought something and you know never got treated fairly, whatever it might be. It, instantly, our thoughts want to be, oh, this uncivilized person, right? This, what's wrong with him? Can you only imagine? And them are the thoughts that want to come, but that's why we need the whole armor of God, that we can have rightful thoughts, see the bigger picture, see that what the devil's trying to do through this person to try to get you to go the wrong way, to think wrong about this situation. We in the flesh are no match for the devil. Just note that down. There's no way that we have a capable chance to overcome the devil in our flesh. The Strong's verse 12 there, the word rulers is death or deadly. I'll flip back to that there. But just think about the rulers of darkness means death or deadly in Strong's. May we never be confused who created all things. God created the enemy himself and left him be here on earth. And it's okay. We know God created all things, and he's able to give us power over this battle, as I said earlier. Verse 13, it's a picture of giving it all you got, having done all to stand. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. But just another picture there, having done all to stand, is, you know, as Andy said this morning, our all in all. Having done all to stand, knowing that what is going to put on the armor of God? I was thinking about that as I was sitting in my seat back here. What's going to put on the armor of God? What's going to help me in my life put these things on that I'd be able to walk throughout my day and see the bigger picture, see of what God is trying to do in my life, what God is trying to work through me. And I just had to think, the keys have to be getting up in the morning, you know, crying out to our God for strength and help. And where our devotions, where we're penetrating, where God's word is touching our hearts. And think about putting each piece of armor on. I just had to think, what if we all had this armor in our bedroom, and we'd stand up and we'd put each piece on, and then we'd, you know, take it back off. Could that help us remember that we need to put something on before we rub shoulders with the day, with people, with the enemy and his trickery, his wiles of the devil? Before we do that, we need to have, you know, what God has, you know, for us. And I know there's times where we maybe can't have our devotions or things like that in the morning, but let's not make excuses for that, because once, I don't know how it goes for you, once you make a few excuses about waking up early enough to spend quality time with God, and it doesn't take long for that to become your standard. And before you know it, there's hardly any devotions, there's hardly any. And so I don't know where it finds you this morning, but let's put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. Talking about the whole shield over your whole heart and lungs. Each one of these things are to protect, as I said earlier, the vitals of your livelihood. First piece of armor, as we notice, is having your loins girt with truth. That's the first thing that has to be trumping everything in our lives, is we need to have truth. The enemy's goal is to take the truth away.
the loins here, I'm amazed that John the Baptist had a leather girdle around his loins. And it says here, I looked the loins up, you know, where they're located. It said this about the loins. Also known as the lumbar region, refers to the area of the back of a human stationed below the rib cage. It's encompassed a series of vertebrae, muscles, nerves, and organs playing a crucial role in movement, support, and protection. And just having, think about the armor and having that loin around you, you know, that belt of truth around you to protect your loins. And John the Baptist wore a leather girdle around his loins. It just, like how that ties together and how the soldiers knew that that's a very important part of their livelihood was their loins. And then having the breastplate of righteousness, and I already talked about that. So we'll move on to verse 15. Looks like the time's quickly going here. The feet shod with the gospel of peace. And I don't know how you find this, brothers and sisters, but this is the thing that's going to keep us encouraged. If anything's going to keep us encouraged, is have the gospel of peace on our hearts. Where we're willing to take the time and share the gospel. Share the good news of what God did for me. And that's the whole armor. Remember, if we're missing a part of our armor, if we're missing the shoes, and we're trying to, you know, live out this Christian life to the fullness, we can't be missing any part of this. It's just a burden for me. I see in my very own life, as soon as I start, the less that I meet people and the less that I mention something about God, the more it just multiplies. It's like pretty soon, if you don't watch, it's just like, okay, I got to get this done, that done. It comes all about yourself. It becomes back just like, and then all at once, you can't figure out, why am I so selfish? Why did I fight back on that business deal? Why did I demand my rights there? And it's because we're missing armor. We're not putting the whole armor of God on. And we're not sharing the gospel, and we're keeping God in our forefront. And all these things are just vanity. And they're all going to burn. And they're all going to be left behind. We're not taking anything with us. The gospel shoes, brothers and sisters, let's not forget those. 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, and I talked a little bit about this already, you know, the shield of faith, he says above all. You know, and because I think with the wiles of the, you know, the trickery of the devil, you need to, things happen so quickly, and these darts want to come in, and we know that in a battlefield, the enemy will, he knows where the shield is, and he knows where everything is. So he tries to get on the backside. If you're fighting back in the Roman soldier days, I'm sure they knew they couldn't penetrate the breastplate. So they're going to be trying to get around to get where the, you know, where there's no protection. And so that's what the shield was for, is to bring it around to shield off. And to picture that in your life, what should you maybe be using the shield for that you aren't? What could I be using the shield for that I'm not? Just things to think about this morning. Just to try to open our hearts. The helmet of salvation. We know that's the protection of the mind. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the helmet is your thought life, your what's transpiring, all these, what's doing all these things that are going through my mind, and what am I doing with them? Am I taking them captive? Am I doing what the Bible says? If there's something comes in my way to, if I have a negative thought, do I repent of it?
Or is negative thoughts just a part of my day? Or do I take negative thoughts that it will bring death to me if I think like this? Do I think that way? Because if we don't, we're not putting the whole armor on. We're not putting the the helmet on. And we must have the helmet if we're going to make this through. We need to guard our minds because that's where it starts. Unforgiveness starts in the mind. It this all starts like before an action, it always started in the mind first. And we know these things. Sword of the Spirit. And I think of the sword of the Spirit. I mean, I think that we read, Alvin read there about these men, you know, just pressing. I mean, they're pressing in. They're doing whatever it took. But I think that's the only way that we're going to gain ground. You know, if we take the Word of God, we believe it as truth, and then anything, if we're going to move forward in our life, we're going to have to take the sword and, you know, the Word of God and just use it so we can keep going forward. Otherwise, we start getting stagnant. We just start staying in one place. And you just think of a two-edged sword, you know. The Bible says, you know, how the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow. It's a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. I know that's a little jumbled there, but just to use that in our everyday life, I just had to think, how am I doing with that, you know? Am I gaining ground in my life? Am I growing? Because I think that's what it's going to take to grow, is to love this more than anything and use it to because the enemy wants to put blocks, roadblocks, where we just feel that we, you know, we get to that place and we can't go on. When soldiers are sent, they are told by their authorities what to do. They have a mission to fulfill. I had to think of the Philistine. I want to bring this to a close here. When the Philistine giant met the power of the Almighty God, just picture that. You know, you saw the whole picture there, and you see a little boy, little David. You know, just a young man. Here he comes, and you have this. I mean, he's just loaded, fully armed, and you just like this little. You come to me as a dog. You know, he just had downcasting words. He says, "Thou comest to me with a." And David told him, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." And I just, when I read that, and I was thinking, David saw that Israel was defiled because of this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine. And, you know, we need young men that have that burden for the church. If we're going to have churches go on, because he saw that the Israel's army was just stalled. They was going nowhere. They were scared. They were just stopped. And he saw that as defilement. You know, he wanted God's army to be victorious. And so that's, but just that, all that, and God just took him out, you know, just took him out through a little stone, pierced right through. Whether we realize it or not, we are in a battle for our souls. Sometimes I wonder, do I realize the raging battle around me? Or do I just see others just casually be going, you know, that looks easier, that must work, they're Christians too. But they're not making no choices for godliness, for purity. They're just going along with the flow. Who am I in Christ? Who are you in Christ? Is it proud to say in Christ we are an invincible, indestructible soldier? You know, in Christ we are. Can we be that? Why would have Paul used the story of a Roman soldier? And I just think because he knew back then the Roman soldier, just like I said earlier, he believed in it. He believed that he was a soldier. And brothers and sisters, unless we come and get, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus and know where we stand and say, I'm a soldier. And we're not ashamed of it. We're not ashamed of it. We'll go anywhere and tell people about it. That's what's going to, you know, and we're not ashamed to live it. And that's what's going to make the difference. I think that's how to get the armor on, to get out of our box, to you know, not trust in ourselves. I'm not trying to get, but to trust in the Lord Jesus. I just had to think. As Jesus looked down, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, why killeth thou the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee? How often would I gather thee, gather thy children together as a hen doeth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. And I just had to think, you know, there's Jesus weeping. He's looking on Jerusalem. And he's just trying to just let me gather you, just like a chicken does on, you know, her little chicks. Just let me gather you that way. And I think that's his burden yet today for us as churches. That you know, may he not be weeping over our churches in the same way today. Just wanting it to gather us together. Just gather, get the, you know, as a chicken. He gives us a perfect example. And we all love seeing that happen. You know, something, the little chickens run, and it's just like, wow, that's so impressive. But that's what God wants out of our lives. And trust that this would be an encouragement to to be a soldier and to wear the armor. So God bless you all, and it's been a blessing being here, and thank you.